Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Spirit, dearly loved by God. So, what does that prove? You may very well get asked that question about what we celebrated last Sunday, and what you confess and I confess in the Creed, on the third day he rose again. What it means is that Jesus is God who paid the full price of atonement for our sins, and it means that one day our bodies will rise from that narrow chamber of the grave to eternal life in heaven. It proves Jesus' victory has overcome the world. That victory is your victory as you are connected to Jesus Christ through faith. Such is our new birth. A newborn baby has little difficulty loving the mother or father who is nestling it against their breast. A newborn has little difficulty loving the brother and sister who is holding him or her and cooing to him or her, sharing in that responsibility of loving and encouraging that new baby. We are newborns born by the Spirit. And daily we translate Christ's resurrection into a life of love. A life of love for God and a life of love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's no burden for us to love God. It's no burden for us to love each other, as John says, everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Loving our Father and loving one another as the brothers and sisters in Christ is simply the natural result of our justifying faith as it is manifested daily in our lives. John writes about the victory that has overcome the world. You see, first of all, that victory comes by the power of our faith. And secondly, that it is that victory that gives us great delight in doing God's will, which is love. Our justifying faith is built on two great pillars. It stands and is secure on those two great pillars. They are the water and the blood. They are the water of Jesus' baptism, the baptism that God intends for sinners, that Jesus, as becoming a sinner in our place, took his place under that baptism as he began his public ministry. But Jesus saved us not only by baptism, but by blood. We build our justifying faith not only on the water of Jesus' baptism, but on the blood of his crucifixion, on the blood that Jesus shed on the cross from his hands and his feet and his side and his scalp and the wound that was there by the Spear. We build our justifying faith, John says, on the water and the blood. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He came not by water only, but by water and blood. These are the Spirit-revealed truths. The gospel continues to reveal these truths to us so that you and I are able to overcome the world, to overcome its lies about Jesus, to overcome its slander of what Jesus' life and death really means for us. For those who slander baptism, for those who slander and speak evilly of the cross of Christ by saying that a man must contribute to his own salvation by the work that he does. You and I have that victory that overcomes the lies and the slander of the world against Christ and against the gospel that the Spirit has revealed to us and has enabled us to believe. It is the Spirit, John says, who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. You and I know the truth, and we believe the truth, and we share the truth. And that truth about the victory that overcomes the world, John speaks about as he asks his own question and then answers his own question. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You and I must all daily face the lies and the slander against the gospel and against our salvation that the devil is putting out there, that the unbelieving world in which we live in is trying to get us to believe, that our own sinful nature wants to get us to follow. No, living the life of justifying faith in love toward God and one another is not burdensome. It's not a burden, but it's sure a fight. It's a fight that you and I are in every day of our lives to overcome the world. But it's a fight for which the outcome has already been determined. The outcome has already been won. Jesus Christ won that victory that overcomes the world. He has given us that victory that overcomes the world. It is the power of our faith. The power of my faith is not my believing. The power of my faith is the water and the blood of the one in whom I believe. You and I daily fight the good fight of faith in the ceaseless conquest to overcome sin and evil in our lives. Didn't you have that fight yesterday? Didn't you have the fight? Didn't you have to fight some temptation or some sin that came into your life? Didn't you have to fight it this morning already? You're going to have to fight it this afternoon. And we're going to have to fight it this evening. And we can't fight in our own power. Because if we fight in our own power, it means sure defeat. It means sure loss. But we fight in the power of our faith. We fight in the power of Christ, who has overcome the world. We fight in that power, which is the power of Jesus' resurrection triumph. Our faith daily in love is a fight. You and I don't live bumper sticker theology, honk if you love Jesus. We don't live in a guilty faith that says it's your duty to obey God's commandment. It's your duty and responsibility to love your Father. And because you love the Father, you know what goes with that. You have to also love His children. You and I love God, our Father in heaven. We love one another. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. It's not something we just say. Love for the Father is love for one another, and this is love for God, that we obey His commandments. I can say, I love God, but I love God by keeping the commandments. You and I have that victory to do that as we overcome the world by the power of our faith. The victory that overcomes the world is the victory that delights in doing God's will, and that will is love. The Spirit teaches us this truth through John's pen. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His command. Love feels no load. Faith in God brings strength from God. Our victory in Christ has overcome the world with its power and its pleasures and its purposes. Didn't you mean it when you just sang in the sermon hymn, there is no pleasure in this world that I desire? If you meant it, you know you are a child of God, because you love God and you love His children. With all the strength of our victorious faith manifesting itself in our daily striving for godliness to God's glory, we show that we are the children of God. Obeying God's commandments for us is not only light and easy, it's a pleasure. Isn't it a pleasure for us to love God? Isn't it a pleasure for us to forgive each other and to love each other? That's the power of our faith that delights in doing God's will. What a horrific lie and slander it is of Satan and the world and my own sinful nature that having to keep the commandment, having to keep the commandment of love, is a burden, like lugging a ton of rocks up a steep mountainside in a backpack. It's just something that weighs us down and weighs us down and finally defeats us. We have overcome the world. Christ has removed from us the burden of duty to keep the commandment, because He kept them for us. He has won forgiveness for us when we don't keep the commandment by offering Himself under the water. And I don't mean by that immersion, but I mean under the water of baptism and under the blood that He shed on the cross. The psalm writer describes it so beautifully in Psalm 119, verses 13 to 16. Praise be to You, O Lord. Teach me Your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from Your mouth. I rejoice in following Your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on Your precepts and consider Your ways. I delight in Your decrees. I will not neglect Your word. Our victorious faith has overcome the world so that we delight in loving our Father and one another. In faith, we say no to sin and yes to righteousness. We deplore the evil we commit and embrace God's forgiveness for when we commit it. God's forgiving love moves us to living love. We do not fall then into the trap of falsely believing that the water and blood of Christ are my license to sin. that they're my excuse to go on not loving God, to not loving my neighbor, not loving my enemy. But rather that love compels me to love. You can't say, I love God, and say that I hate your neighbor, that you hate your neighbor. You can't say, I love God, and then love disobeying the Ten Commandments. Love holding a grudge. Love getting angry. Love saying slanderous things about other people. Love ignoring God's word. Love doing what we want and not what God commands. Jesus defined love very clearly for us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Here the Apostle John uses the strongest language to describe that life of love that is the life of our victorious faith over the world. The power of my faith is not just that it saves me through Christ. The power of my faith is that in His victory, I strive daily to overcome sin and lack of love in my life toward God and all people. Maybe to put it a little bit different way, we might say that love is the child of faith. Martin Luther wrote these words about that in his commentary to the Galatians. After I have apprehended Christ by faith, have died to the law, have been justified from sin, and have been freed through Christ from death, the devil, and hell, I do good works. I love God. I thank Him. I practice love toward my neighbor. So, what does it prove? The third day, He rose again. What we celebrated last Sunday, what we celebrate again today, what we celebrate daily in our lives. In the three ecumenical creeds, it means that we trust that Jesus is the Son of God and our Savior from sin. We trust in Him alone for heaven and thank the Holy Spirit for our membership in God's family. To do so from the heart indicates that we have been born of God. Faith is our power. Obedience is our delight. Amen.